Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're enjoying your lunch. Please continue. My name is Aryeh Borkoff, and I cover the entertainment, cable and satellite stocks and high-yield bonds for UBS. And I'm very pleased to have with us as our first keynote lunch speaker of the week, George Bodenheimer from the Walt Disney Company. ESPN, as many of you know, is the leading multimedia sports entertainment company and is often recognized by the industry for its innovations in creating content and developing new technology applications. Its leader, George Bodenheimer, who's here with us today, joined the company in 1981, right out of college, rose through the ranks quickly to oversee the affiliate ad sales and marketing areas, and was strategically involved in the development of many of the ESPN entities that exist today. Here to tell us about ESPN's success, its many new businesses since he became president in 1998, and ESPN's growth prospects, George Bodenheimer, president of ESPN and ABC Sports, and co-chair of the Disney Media Networks. We're going to hear from George for a presentation, and we'll open up the Q&A. Thank you very much for being here, George.
Thank you, Aryeh, and hello, sports fans. I always feel comfortable opening up with that because all of our research always shows that about 85 to 90% of all people identify themselves as sports fans, so it's a comforting feeling. Anyway, it's great being with all of you here today. It's been a very active year for us. I'm going to take you through some of the things we've done in the last year or so and then get into how we're managing our business going forward. Some of the recent developments you can see on the screen. We reorganized our structure to better line up our business objectives. We signed the NFL, Major League Baseball, World Cup deals. We did a major video games deal with Electronic Arts. Launched a number of new businesses, ESPNU, ESPN2 High Def, ESPN 360, ESPN Deportes Radio, and ESPN La Revista. Our consolidated affiliate sales team closed several major deals. Our ad sales group found a new way to play, and perhaps most importantly, we updated our mission statement. I'll give you a bit of detail on each one of those up front. In keeping with Bob Iger's lead, we simplified our organizational structure into six specific areas, as you can see here: content, technology, sales and marketing, international, finance, and administration. This new structure will help us be nimble and take advantages of opportunities as we see fit in the marketplace. We've also had a very busy year negotiating major sports rights. You can see the three major deals we've signed recently: NFL, FIFA, and Major League Baseball. FIFA, of course, is World Cup soccer, men's and women's, and all of those deals go through either 2013 or 2014. And you can see also the other major product that we already have under contract. It's really a lineup second to none in sports. Also, has been reported, some of you may have read, we're in ongoing discussions with NASCAR, and we hope to have an announcement shortly. We're also extremely excited about the move next season of Monday Night Football from ABC to ESPN. As all of you know, Monday Night Football is really a television icon, and I know it's going to thrive on ESPN. Our unique ability to turn a game into a must-see event is what has made Sunday Night Football such a success. And we'll do the same for Monday Night Football, as only ESPN can. We were searching for a way to significantly participate in the burgeoning video games business and reach our fans in another arena we know they're all flocking to. And we were able to accomplish that with a long-term deal with Electronic Arts. And you'll see some of the games that we'll be participating in. I'm very excited about this partnership with those fine people. We've also been busy launching new businesses, as ESPN continually does. We're particularly pleased to have moved forward in our effort to serve Spanish-speaking fans with ESPN Deportes Radio and a Spanish-language version of ESPN the magazine. ESPNU, our college sports network, fits in perfectly with what has always been at the core of our company, serving college sports fans. We have major distribution deals in place for ESPNU with DirecTV and EchoStar, and less than a year into this business, it's truly off to a great start. ESPN 360, our broadband product, is also extremely promising. It's now available through 11 ISPs in the United States and was part of our groundbreaking Disney-wide deal we announced with Verizon just a few weeks ago. Just a year ago, the Disney, ABC, and ESPN affiliate sales groups joined forces, and they're also off to a great start. You can see here the long-term deals they've negotiated just in the past year, what with DirecTV, EchoStar, Adelphia, and as I mentioned, Verizon. I grew up in this side of the business at ESPN, so I feel well-versed to tell you that these deals have continued to grow in scope and significance from when we've been doing these for 25 years now, and they bear little resemblance to the deals we were doing just 10 years ago. For example, the DirecTV agreement includes 18 separate services, such as ESPNU, ESPN High Def, Disney Channel, SoapNet, ESPN2 High Def, and on, 18 different services. On the ad sales front, similar to the affiliate sales, we're not resting on our laurels. By listening closely to our advertising clients, we decided on a new way to go to market, and we executed on that strategy this past year. Our new way to play is about a sales force in which the myriad of ESPN and ABC sports platforms are on the table for every deal, not sold separately. It's about a transformation in the way we demonstrate the benefits of advertising with us. It's no longer just about ratings or circulation. It's about an association with the world-class ESPN brand and a change of focus from advertisers' return on investment to return on objective, or the real impact of our media on their business objectives. And we're already seeing results from this. In this year's upfront, 50% of all of our deals of $2 million or more, and that's over 150 deals, included more than one medium, or said another way, a medium other than television. Our wireless licensing business, for example, which offers ESPN content to a variety of wireless carriers, pulled in $1.2 million in the upfront. This service was not even sold in the upfront as little as a year ago. In addition, we had a record year in our international business, and I'm particularly pleased with the growth in Latin America. We've worked very hard over the last year to improve our operations in Latin America, with cost control as a major priority. We're always looking to build the international strength of our leading franchise, SportsCenter. This year, we launched new versions of SportsCenter in Spanish and Cantonese. As you know, wireless technology is exploding around the world, and ESPN has launched a new wireless effort in Japan, and we're exploring others in the UK, Argentina, and Brazil. So that's a look back at where we've been over the last year or so. Going forward, we're extremely bullish about our financial prospects. We have the majority of our sports rights locked in through long-term deals. Similarly, we have subscriber rates locked in, or soon to be locked in, through long-term affiliate deals. And as a result, we're comfortable, very comfortable, with our ability to deliver double-digit profit growth on average through 2009. In addition, this year, and perhaps most importantly for those of you who know about ESPN, about our company, we updated our mission statement. We've been working under a mission statement created 10 years ago, and it needed updating, badly needed updating, to better reflect what the ESPN business is today, and more importantly, where it's going. Our mission, very simple, to serve sports fans wherever sports are watched, listened to, discussed, debated, read about, or played. In our business, this requires three things as we look ahead: acquiring broad rights, creating unique, innovative, and cutting-edge content, and harnessing technology. This, of course, is right in sync with Bob Iger's mission for the Walt Disney Company, as you may have seen in this morning's Wall Street Journal. When we walk into a rights negotiation, we have to make it clear that we're not just in the TV business anymore. We need broad rights to fuel our many new and traditional businesses. We're no longer walking in as a cable network. We're going to the table as a sports multimedia company. Therefore, we're looking to acquire more than just games and highlights. We're looking for rights to fuel unique studio shows, real-time data to power everything from our bottom line to our internet gamecast service and mobile businesses. Library footage for ESPN Classic, fantasy game rights, which is an increasingly important business for us and one of our company priorities this year. We need content to feed all of the platforms you see here on this slide. These new businesses will contribute significantly to our growth in the future. And we need the rights not just to feed these platforms, but to distribute our content over any pipe and on any device. Not only businesses we're in like mobile and broadband, but media that may come about in the future. ESPN is always thinking about its future products and going back to our mission, serving sports fans. The good news is that we're having success negotiating deals that achieve this. For example, we're pleased to say that in our recent Major League Baseball negotiations, we obtained the most wide-ranging set of rights we have ever acquired from a major sports league. The second thing we must do to serve our sports fans is emphasize creativity. Back when we first started this company in 1979, a lot of people, especially in traditional media, simply didn't think a 24-hour sports cable channel would take off. Here's one anchor man who definitely didn't think so.
It's sports.
All around the clock, sports all the time.
That's the concept of the news.
Oh, that's never going to work. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's like a 24-hour cooking network or an all-music channel. Ridiculous. That's really dumb. Seriously, this thing is going to be a financial and cultural disaster. Sports Center. Think about that. That's just dumb.
You know, Ron Burgundy may have been right if it weren't for the creativity that ESPN has brought to its coverage of sports. We continue to challenge our people to think of new ways to entertain and engage our fans. It's not business as usual. Whether it's bringing SportsCenter on the road to visit the troops serving our country in the Persian Gulf, or SportsCenter visiting 50 states in 50 days as we did this summer. Another example is College Game Day, which is more than just a big event on campus. It's a way for us to touch young sports fans who will be with us for years to come. Even in our own studios, it's not always enough to just sit in a chair and talk. We need to bring sports to life. And of course, there's nothing sports fans love more than debate. And that's why a show like Pardon the Interruption has been such a runaway success. There's no better example of the creative energy at ESPN than the continued growth of ESPN Original Entertainment. Our sixth movie, Codebreakers, is debuting this Saturday night at 9 p.m. It's a story of honor and football at the U.S. Military Academy. Here's a preview.
Repeat the honor code.
A cadet will not lie, cheat, or steal, sir.
What is the motto of West Point?
Duty, honor, country, sir.
We don't just play for West Point, gentlemen. We play for the American people.
It works until we drop, and then I'm supposed to go back to the dorm and study so I can maybe pass the physics exam.
You gotta stop playing these exams the way you play football. Teamwork.
We all need help.
That's cheating.
Sir, I believe the honor committee has been compromised by cadets.
You wanna take something from the system, you gotta give something first.
Ah! Off the fight, gentlemen!
If I thought one of my boys was guilty of foul play, you wouldn't be at this academy.
From now on, count me out.
You walk away and somebody's going to make sure that you regret it.
Are you hungry for victory?
No, sir!
Then go out there and take it!
Codebreakers, an ESPN original movie, Saturday, December 10th at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN.
As you can see there, Codebreakers debuts this Saturday at 9, coming right out of the Heisman Trophy Awards presentation. So I'm confident we're going to do a nice rating this Saturday night. But overall, with ESPN Original Entertainment, the bottom line is we remain committed to it, and it's an important part of our programming strategy going forward. Didn't even exist 36 months ago. Third, nothing is more important to accomplishing our mission than harnessing technology and the power of it. In our business, that means three things: recognizing where fans are going, developing products and content specifically tailored to new platforms, and of course, leveraging the strength of the ESPN brand. ESPN's fans belong to a demo that is leading the migration to new services of news and entertainment. As you can see, they're 28% more likely than the average American to have a broadband connection, 19% more likely to have a wireless web connection, 13% more likely to have a video game console, and 38% more likely to have a high-definition television set. To remain the leader in sports, which is what we intend to do, we must be there whenever these fans turn to a new platform. We look at every event that we cover as an opportunity not just to serve those fans watching TV. It's about serving fans wherever they wish to be served on whatever device they happen to be using. Our goal is to draw the audience to the multitude of platforms that we offer content, whether it's ESPN 360 for broadband users, the multitude of wireless applications that were already offered through the major national carriers, or ESPN Motion, a key feature of ESPN.com, which of course is a growing and formidable business for us, serving 16 million unique users on a monthly basis. This past summer, I had the pleasure of attending the United States Golf Open in Pinehurst, and I was proud of the sheer amount of content that we produced from this one event. So proud, in fact, that we created a DVD to showcase to our 4,000-plus employees that we are fulfilling our mission, and their hard work is paying off. Here's a quick look at some of those highlights.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chris Berman, along with Roger Maltby. Good to be with you again.
KJ Choi.
Well, it was a golf course today that if you played exceptionally well, you could make some birdies.
What we hit here, driver?
Yep.
We hit Old Faithful. See where it goes.
Welcome to U.S. Open Range, live on ESPN 360, as our coverage of the 2005 U.S. Open continues with an unprecedented up-close look at what happens behind us.
Over the next 6 hours, we'll be bringing you coverage of two of the par threes here at Pinehurst, number two, number nine, and number 15.
Tiger Woods, que jogou 70 ontem no par do campo, campeão do US Open de 2002.
Bienvenidos a la cobertura de Sports Center desde Pinehurst en Carolina del Norte.
On to golf, which is why we are here. This is All Night on ESPN Radio.
Michael Campbell is now addressing the media.
To actually come this far after what I've been through.
The point is, when we say we're more than a cable television network, we're a sports media company, our actions demonstrate that. From that one event, the United States Open, we produce content for nine different ESPN platforms. One event, nine platforms. I really don't think there's any other company out there, certainly in the sports business, who is approaching that. And that's really part of where we see our future. However, there's no better example of where we're going in terms of harnessing technology than mobile ESPN. We have a modest view of the potential impact of this product. That's right. The greatest invention in the history of the world ever. Here's a look at how we intend to position mobile ESPN in the marketplace.
Sports fans are a rare breed. We can utter a sentence with more numbers than nouns or verbs in it. When we're not playing sports, we're watching sports. And when we're not watching sports, we're playing fantasy football. The problem is, this habit called life tends to get in the way of our sports.
We got a big day tomorrow. We're going to go to Home Depot. Yeah, buy some wallpaper, a
to get some flooring.
So we must begrudgingly plan our lives around sports. Through delicate and persistent negotiations, we've pushed back our wedding rehearsal dinner 2 hours so we could get in a full 18. We've used our kids as excuses to leave work obligations so we could catch the pregame to game 6 of the ALCS.
Oh yeah.
We've sat cold and alone in the garage listening to a sportscast on the car's radio before dashing in to catch the replay.
In your life have you seen anything like that?
Plan as we might, there are those tragic times when we miss an event entirely.
I missed the Jets' first home game.
When men congregate in small groups at non-sports functions and whisper updated scores to one another the way prisoners plan their escape. But now there's a way to bring more joy and stability to our fractured lives. ESPN Mobile is the answer to the question that dare not speak its name. How could I possibly get more sports in my sports life? The answer rests in a palm-sized sports communication device that delivers our sports directly to us, the way we want it. If knowledge is power, then this is the stat-laden source. ESPN Mobile is the all-you-can-eat buffet, only it serves you. It's everything we love about ESPN. In this wonderful new universe, you, all of us, are the sports center. And life will never be the same again, because life will no longer get in the way of your sports. It's not ESPN Mobile, it's Mobile ESPN. And it's about time.
I can tell you that the phone actually works, so that is the good news. We're off to a good start, but I've been using it for about 3 weeks now, and I'm really impressed with what our people have put together, and I hope you will be too. Mobile ESPN is the first mobile sports news and information service dedicated to serving the sports fan. We know what our mission is, we know who our customers, we know what we're trying to serve. Our goal is to deliver a fully branded ESPN experience at every consumer touch point. And in order to reach this goal, we have partnered with industry-leading companies. Sprint, Nextel, for example, our network partners, positioned very well for the future of wireless telecommunications. Sanyo, which has brought us the MVP, this particular model, our inaugural handset, has won numerous J.D. Power Awards. For sales, our leading retail partner is Best Buy, with others to be announced soon. And of course, we'll be selling directly through mobileespn.com. Mobile ESPN delivers the best user interface ever seen on a phone. That's a quote from a leading industry analyst. We deliver real-time scores, alerts, news, audio and video, and fantasy game controls, all with the simplicity of one-click access and very easy navigation. For third-party content, we've partnered with industry leaders such as ABC News, Dow Jones, and Google. Fully integrated marketing with ESPN.com actually begins today on our site. But the most significant milestone for us is February 5th, when we begin selling our service through over 600 Best Buy stores nationwide. And when we tell sports fans the day before watching the Super Bowl that sports heaven has finally arrived. Our initial handset will be priced at $399 after rebate. And our subscription rates will be extremely competitive in today's market. The Super Bowl campaign will begin one of our most ambitious marketing endeavors to date. Our key message is quite simple, you saw it on the tape, will be that Mobile ESPN, with Mobile ESPN, you can stay in touch with the players, teams, and sports you care about anytime, anywhere. Later, we'll follow with campaigns that point out that with Mobile ESPN, life, meetings, kids, investor conferences, friends, birthday parties, wedding anniversaries will no longer get in the way of your ability to stay connected with the sports you love. Mobile ESPN represents a significant revenue opportunity by gaining a direct relationship with consumers. Given the strength of our brand, this direct relationship with the fan positions us effectively to further strengthen our direct relationships in other media. And mobile is indeed a big part of our future. Our future also envisions continuing to grow around the world. ESPN currently has a presence on every continent, with 29 networks serving fans worldwide. The love for sports is universal, and we want to be everywhere there are sports fans, which of course is everywhere. First, we aim to deliver unique fan demographics to advertisers and sponsors to grow our core TV businesses. The key to this is growing our key franchises, such as SportsCenter and the X Games. Second, where we have strong TV penetration, we must follow our U.S. model by forging connections with fans and other media, such as wireless, broadband, radio, and magazine. We're also very focused on our European strategy, where we must use new media like broadband and wireless to reach fans in those markets. The keys to executing on our plan are the values and the culture that have gotten ESPN to where it is today. In addition to an updated mission statement, we created an updated value statement as well. And it stresses, and I firmly believe this, that no resource is more important than our people, that we have to embrace diversity to serve our fans, and that we must remain committed to values such as teamwork, quality, creativity, integrity, and the pursuit of new ideas. Plus, of course, our goal is always to grow audience and build shareholder value. ESPN's culture has been and continues to be its greatest strength. As we like to say, we take our sports and businesses seriously, but we don't take ourselves too seriously, as our award-winning This Is SportsCenter campaign continues to show.
Thanks, guys.
Hey. That was my car.
Oh, that was your car?
Yeah.
Well, this is my parking spot. I park here every day. That's an honest mistake. So Scott started reeling off these great shows, one right after another.
And A-Rod exhibits inordinate aptitude in spheroidical aviation.
Turns out he was using performance enhancers.
I fear that your inquisition will prove fruitless.
You mind telling us what this is?
I don't even know what that is or how you use it.
It looks like a thesaurus.
Unhand me, scallion!
We got to win back a lot of trust. A lot of trust.
Of course, what would an ESPN presentation be without a couple of SportsCenter spots? But I wanted to thank you for the invitation to be here today. I'd be happy to try to address any of your questions now.
Thank you, George. That was a great presentation. If you can turn the microphone on here. We'll have microphones walking through the room to see if there are any questions from the audience. I'll start with one, George. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the FCC Chairman Martin's view of a la carte pricing recently and the a la carte model. Can you talk about whether you're supportive of that model? I think others at Disney have said that they don't think it creates value, and you end up pricing, you have sort of more prices for less. Can you talk about the ESPN statement about the a la carte?
Could you all hear back there? Was the mic on? No, the question was relative to a la carte and whether ESPN has a view consistent with others in Disney about it. The short answer is yes, we do. We don't think the consumer is served by any sort of an a la carte business model. This was recently confirmed by two different government studies, one from the General Accounting Office and one just recently from the FCC themselves. The gist of it is that it'll add cost to the system, both in terms of the hardware to make it work, as well as marketing expenses, and that ultimately consumers will end up paying more and receiving less. So we do not believe that a la carte is a benefit to the consumer. I don't see any broad support for it within the industry on either both the operator or the programmer side, put aside, you know, just our Disney position. So I really don't see you know, too much momentum be behind a move to an a la carte distribution scheme.
Questions from the audience?
Your mic isn't on.
Well, it's very ambitious to be involved in all these different platforms, but I'm wondering if, for example, when you're doing long-form feature film programming, while the content, the subject might obviously be in line with what you know best, which is sports, certainly the process of creating and producing a feature film, even if it is only an MOW, is sort of outside your core competency. I wonder if you can comment on that in general, and specifically whether or not you're taking advantage of the relationship you have with Disney. Because obviously they know how to make films.
Yes, they do. Well, generally, I believe that everybody overcomplicates everything. So, you know, yes, you know, 4 years ago, we hadn't made our first made-for-television film. But between Disney and other contacts we have, there's no shortage of talented people who we can access. In fact, we did access the Touchstone division of Disney to help us get our feet wet. We're not inhibited by having a learning curve at all. In fact, I think it's real positive for our employees. It gives people career opportunities. It gives people an opportunity to come into our company. I'm pleased by that. Another example of that is really the phone. We haven't been in the phone business before. As you know, this is not just a licensing model. It's a full-blown MVNO model. We did not know the phone business. We were not in the phone business, but we have hired some terrific people. Talk about diversity, probably the most diverse group in our company. Plenty of expertise out there in the phone business, and we're well on our way. So I don't look at needing or having a learning curve as a negative. I look at it as a positive in our company, and certainly with the success we've had with our made-for-television films, and I hope you'll tune in Saturday night. I think you'll see we've produced another film with Codebreakers that will do us proud. In addition, it's opening up new revenue streams for us. The DVD that we did with the Dale Earnhardt film is a terrific sales opportunity for us, and we'll be looking for other opportunities to tie in with films going down the road, whether it be consumer products or DVDs. It also can live on all of our other mediums, and we'll own 100% of the content, so I'm bullish on it.
I'm not sure if you can turn the microphone on over here.
Okay, great. Thanks. One question while the microphones are going around. George, you have obviously discussions ongoing now with Time Warner and Comcast, as has been announced. I know you can't talk about specific deals, but perhaps you could give us a little bit of color on when you have now Monday Night Football. Does that influence the negotiations at all? You have another sort of added content that you didn't have last time. Do you ask them to pay for that content? And secondly, as part of those discussions, what happens when Time Warner and Comcast, with their Sprint agreement, want to use some of the ESPN content they've already negotiated on the Sprint phones that they're going to have? And does that sort of contradict the MVNO strategy at all?
Well, you know, on your first question first, as far as our dealings with cable operators and what's the impact when you add a property like a Monday Night Football, you know, funny thing happened maybe, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. We were at an industry conference, or maybe it was a setting like this, and we said that ESPN was the most valuable cable network out there. And a funny thing didn't happen. No one in the industry ever said, we think you're wrong. Not one cable network, not one cable operator, not one analyst. Nobody in the business in any way, shape, or form ever tried to dispute our assertion that we were the most valuable network, either from a consumer standpoint or value to the cable operator or the advertiser. So we felt good about that. And on that note, when we to answer your question specifically, you know, to fulfill our role to be the leading, not only sports network, but most valuable service, we're looking for opportunities to continually strengthen ourselves. And that's why we did the deal for Monday Night Football. So indirectly, when we're at the table with the Comcast and the Time Warners, they see us working all the time to improve our service offering. And that's why we're able to come to agreement on the terms that we are. We're negotiating with both of those companies now, as has been written, and I'm very confident we'll have successful negotiations with them, as we have had with virtually every other cable operator out there. As I said, or I may have mentioned, I grew up on that side of the business, and so I feel like I know it pretty well, or at least I knew it in the old days, and really nobody has had a higher percentage of cable operators and therefore subscribers under contract at any point in time than ESPN. We've always prided ourselves in that, and the strength of our affiliate contracts continue to lead the industry, in my view.
And how about on the Sprint deal that they have just engaged in, and they try to bring some of the content they've negotiated on their phones and almost become a content aggregator of sorts? Does that contradict some of the programming that you'll have from ESPN on your own phone?
Well, none of the affiliate deals that we're working on REA contemplate redistribution of our signal on these new mediums. So we'll have an opportunity to have additional conversations if there's interest coming from them to us. As far as the last part of your question, it's something we're managing here. We certainly intend to remain very active in the licensing of ESPN content to all of the phone companies, while at the same time have our own dedicated ESPN phone. So we're going to be managing exactly what content is exclusive to our phone versus the content that we'll continue to license to all the other carriers. But it would be nonsensical for us to only distribute our content to this phone, because this phone only requires that we achieve a very modest penetration of U.S. wireless users in the United States to be a success. So I think we can skin the cat and have it both ways, continue to have a successful product here, or have a successful product here, but also continue to be able to license our product to carriers. So we're going to be active in that marketplace as well, continue to be.
Okay, I'll keep going. The ESPN 360, obviously a part of the broadband initiative for the company. Can you talk about what you charge for that service as a subscription service? And do you see or do you fear any sort of cannibalization risk as some of your viewers migrate online?
Well, we don't detail specifically what the wholesale fees are for ESPN broadband and the other broadband suite of products within Disney, but I do believe it's a fact that we're the only major media company who is able to distribute its broadband products and obtain a fee from distributors. So while all media companies proudly distribute press releases about their broadband service, I think we're the only one that has done it in trying to replicate the existing model on the cable network side, the dual revenue stream. I guess that's one of the other companies that wanted to dispute that or something.
How about cannibalization?
I'm not worried about cannibalization. You know, if you sit around and worry about that as a media company, I think you're in trouble, because if you don't compete with yourself, certainly others are going to do that. And we have not seen any cannibalization from any new mediums, whether it's the video game business or even ESPN.com. You know, the viewership to sports on television continues to grow despite all of the other mediums that are now in place, whether it be the video game business or all the services on the internet. So I'm not worried about cannibalization.
So given that assertion, it's very consistent, obviously, with Bob Iger's commentary. And this is your chance to ask any questions without revealing.
It must be
who you
last
are.
Call or something.
Would you do a deal with the iPod in terms of SportsCenter or any other programming?
The answer is sure, and we're looking at that now. We already distribute our radio audio program through iPod, through the iPod, I should say. But you know, consistent with ESPN's position as a platform agnostic distributor of content, you know, we're looking to distribute our content everywhere we can, because it's simple. It goes back to how we open up here, serving our mission. And if our fans want to access our content on an iPod or whatever device, we feel like that's our mantra to be there, and that's what we'll continue to do.
Okay, I have a few more, unless there are some questions from the audience. Like I said, this is your chance without revealing who
you are.
I guess
you can do it anonymously.
Exactly.
Throw those questions out.
Okay, so the next question I have is, obviously, Monday Night Football and some of the college football broadcasts have migrated away from broadcast onto cable. Do you think this is a permanent trend? Are we going to see any more sort of high-quality sports and high-cost sports on broadcast television?
I
they like that question.
That must have been, yeah, some broadcast gods. I think it will remain a mix, and that's why I feel so well positioned at ESPN, because our sister company, ABC Sports, which I have the pleasure of managing as well, is a very viable distribution platform for us, which is a complete understatement, of course. It's in 110 million homes. It's going to remain vibrant. And the last deal we did with the NBA really was an example of how it was complementary, because the NBA needs a wide platform for its finals, and we were able to deliver that with ABC, and also, of course, likes the weekly coverage it gets on ESPN. So there was a complimentary example, and I believe there will be future similar examples. So I really feel like we're well positioned in the programming rights or acquisition world, where broadcast remains very important.
And as you pitch your products on multiple mediums, as you said, have you noticed that sort of advertisers are able to give you sort of more for that sort of distribution capability, or is there some risk of dilution across different mediums, given that the advertisers may see maybe less of an audience in one platform versus another, or the advertisers just expanding their overall budgets?
No, we're seeing growth, and you know, for years and years and years, people have said, well, you're just going to throw in a dot-com unit or throw in a this unit. We have never done that. We do not believe in giving our content away. We believe what we have is valuable, whether it's for the cable operator, the consumer, or in this case, the advertiser. And so we very much feel as though the value is additive to the advertiser. And if you're trying to sell Pepsi, and I love having this conversation with a CEO or a CMO. If you want to affiliate with the ESPN brand to sell your product, and here are the reasons why I think you should, why the heck would you only want to buy television? Your consumers aren't just watching television. God knows that those days have changed now. You can affiliate with us, do an ad buy with us, and we'll put you on television, put you on the internet, put you in print on ESPN.com, put you on ESPN radio, and soon enough on the phone and other wireless devices. It's a complete, you know, the word integrated is a bit overused, but it's a complete marketing program for an advertiser, all under the ESPN brand with the same brand sensibility, same editorial quality. That's where I think our advantage is going forward.
Question in the middle.
Right here. Yes. I was curious, you talk about, I guess, double-digit growth over the next, I guess, 4 years. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about where the higher growth areas are going to be, whether it be on the affiliate side, affiliate revenue, or advertising revenue. And then the second question is also in terms of the current spot market for cable network advertising, what are you seeing right now? Are you still able to command pricing? Are you still gaining share on your networks? I guess that's it.
Well, we're really not prepared to offer additional detail beyond the double-digit growth on average through 09 that we've talked about. But I will say that we expect continued strong revenue growth on both the affiliate and the advertising sales side. I expect contribution from our new properties, our new businesses over that time. We're working hard to maintain cost controls. I mean, we really manage the company as an overall enterprise, and I'm not looking for any one horse in particular to save the day. We're really hitting on a variety of cylinders, and I feel very good about the guidance we've provided. To that end, our advertising market is staying strong. We had a great upfront this year at ESPN. We had CPM growth in the 6-8% range, which led cable networks certainly, and we're seeing that strength continuing on in scatter. We just finished a fantastic year, as you all know. Disney's completed its 05, and we're already on to 06. But we finished a terrific year advertising wise, and I see that continuing right into 06.
Philip.
Just in terms of the ownership structure of ESPN, do you foresee an opportunity to buy in the minority stake that's currently held by Hearst? And if so, what is the provisions in that contract that would determine the valuation for their stake?
I'm really not prepared to address anything along those lines, so I really have nothing to say there, other than if you had to hand pick two partners to, you know, as a manager of a business, to have having Disney and Hearst as your partners is a fantastic advantage for me in what I'm trying to do. They're both great partners.
Just following up on the NASCAR speculation about a deal coming up, the double-digit growth in profitability that you've guided to, does that include provisions for the new potential NASCAR deal?
We've been looking far ahead and planning our business. So the short answer is yes. Any acquisition we may be fortunate enough to make in NASCAR wouldn't change the guidance that we have we've laid out here for you.
And is that guidance an average double-digit growth rate, or is it sort of per year? Meaning, are there years where you could sort of acquire incremental sports rights that may increase the cost in one given year, but you still keep the average growth?
Average.
Got it. Okay, thanks. And one more question on football. The NFL Network obviously has another package, I think, that they are marketing for Saturday nights.
Thursdays and Saturdays.
Is ESPN precluded from bidding for that package as well, given the Monday Night Football package? And do you think that if someone else gets that package, that sort of dilutes the sort of product offering at all?
No, we're not precluded from bidding on it. And as far as whether or not, whoever else might get it, whether that impacts our business, I really don't see an impact. I think having Monday Night Football, along with the collection of other sports we have, which is all significant swath of other rights, that we will not be impacted.
Okay. Any other questions? With that, George, I want to thank you very much for coming and presenting at the conference.
Thank you.